And welcome back to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and we were talking earlier how hockey, Major League Hockey in Hartford, was a big business back in the day. And then we started chatting about the passing of Gordie Howe. Well, he was, for many years, the voice of the Hartford Whalers. And now, the longtime voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, we welcome to Front and Center, Chuck Caton. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks very much, Dan.
By the way, Chuck, can you believe it's been 10 years since the Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup?
No. You know, time's really flying right now, and as I reflect back and I think of Pittsburgh general manager Jim Rutherford, who was our GM, obviously the people in Hartford remember Jim very fondly, I'm sure. And he had the opportunity last night to hoist the cup again, but he may have to wait a few days now. But doing well in Pittsburgh. But no, I can't believe it. It's been a real whirlwind of time. But I suppose time catches up with all of us, and we shouldn't be surprised by that, I suppose.
So, Chuck, what do you remember about when you were Mike's side for the Whalers and Gordie Howe was playing for them?
Well, the first significant thing for me was when I joined the team in 1979 as its broadcaster. My first broadcast was an exhibition game against the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Springfield Civic Center. And my color man, the analyst, was Gordie Howe. And I don't think you could get much better than that. Gordie, at the time, was entering his final season in the NHL, but did not play in that first preseason game. So he had the... Well, he drew the short straw and had to work with this rookie NHL broadcaster at the time, and we had a lot of fun. It was a wild game, as I recall, a 5-5 tie with the Pittsburgh Penguins, in which a very obscure name, Maynard Freeman Skirman, M.F. Skirman, scored the tying goal with just seconds to go in the third period with the sixth attacker. And Gordie went crazy. But in a very classy way, did the game with me, and it was a thrill of a lifetime for me because I was a Detroit native and grew up watching Gordie play with the Red Wings for many years. So it was kind of a dream. I had to pinch myself many times during that broadcast. But his impact on hockey, Dan, was unmeasured. You just really, everywhere he went, you know, he resided in Glastonbury. I know Marty, one of his sons, lived in the Howe compound there off of Hebron Avenue, and they really took the area by storm. They made many friends. He was always great with kids, and always had something very prophetic to say to them. Whenever they would ask for an autograph, if they didn't say please, he would wait for them to say please, and he wouldn't hand the paper back to them until they said the other magic words, thank you. And taught little lessons like that for youngsters, and just was all around a very kind man.
What was it like when you actually brought, of course, he was in his, I guess, 50, 51 at that point, but what was it like broadcasting when he was on the ice playing?
Well, he obviously, his skills were not diminished very much. I remember that he played on a line with Jordy Douglas, who scored 33 goals that year. And people may recall Nick Fatiu, who was a very physical player. They played together for a while in that final season. And, you know, it was just remarkable, Dan, because he scored 15 goals in his final year in the NHL. And it was the NHL that, of course, was a little bit slower in pace than we see in today's game. But nonetheless, he was very feared. He was very respected. Naturally, and I think players were afraid to get within that 5-foot circle of him when they were checking, for fear that the elbow might come up and still catch him, even at the age of 51, that he was playing it for the majority of that 79-80 season.
You think about it, Chuck, to be out there, even though the NHL was slower back then than it is today, but to be out there playing hockey at the age of 51, that really is a remarkable achievement, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is, and I think the only correlation you could make today is that people follow the NHL. They know that Jaromir Jagr just turned 44 this year playing with the Florida Panthers, and the pace of the game today is a lot quicker, and he has been able to play at his pace, and I really believe that Gordie Howe could have even played today if he was in his 50s today. he was such a remarkable athlete and so adaptable, and he was just a joy to watch because of the way he handled the puck, the way he shot the puck, the way he led by example. I mean, younger players, the most vivid memories for me were on off days when Gordy would attend, after he was working for the Oilers organization when he retired, he'd go to every practice, and the players would come up to him and ask him, hey, watch me today. Give me some tips. You know, am I shooting the puck right? What am I doing wrong here? Or can you give me some thoughts on you know, the way I work today in practice? And I remember Kevin Dineen, who was very close to the Howe family because his dad, Bill, had played with Gordy in Detroit back in the 50s. And, of course, coached Gordy with Houston and coming over to the WHA Whalers. Kevin was always very close with Gordy. He was almost like a second father to him. And he would always ask him, you know, watch me in practice today. And Gordy would give him little tips and, you know, some advice. And, you know, he was never one to force that advice on players. If players asked, he was very receptive in answering. So, yeah, just a gentleman in every manner of speaking.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You touched upon it a bit when he was giving out autographs. But what was the man Gordy Howe like off the ice?
Very gentle, very kind. He had a great sense of humor. He always would give you the one-liners that were so poignant. And I was very lucky, again, not only to broadcast that one season with him, but to work with him for several other years on a between-period feature that we used to have on our broadcast called Gordy Howe Talks Hockey. And we would broach various topics about the game and things that were happening in the NHL at the time and different players. And he was just a fountain of information, but he did it in such a silent, kind of a soft-spoken way and a common-sense way that really made you think and really made you respect not only his knowledge of the game, but his knowledge of life.
Now, you mentioned growing up near Detroit, so what do you remember of Gordy Howe when he was in his prime?
Well, obviously, he was, to me, the best player to ever play in the National Hockey League at the time. And we're talking an NHL that had people like Sean Beliveau and Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita and Dave Keon and all of the great names of the 60s when I grew up. But Gordy Howe had a special presence about him. And it was, again, his competitiveness, his meanness on the ice. I think the biggest thing about his game was nobody would come in within that 5-foot circle. And whenever he would confront a rookie and take him into the boards, most of the time very cleanly, it would be welcome to the NHL. You have never been welcomed like you've been welcomed by Gordy Howe when he was physical with you. And, you know, and I think that a lot of the players, you know, you talk about the Bobby Orrs, the Phil Espositos, all of the younger players that came in the league when Gordy was advancing in age, you know, from the time he was like 35 or 40, those players came into the league at that time, and they had so much respect for him that they kind of shied away from him. They were his idols. In fact, Bobby Orr's middle name is Gordon for obvious reasons. So the bottom line is that he had such a great impact, and my memories of that 16 NHL back when I grew up in Detroit are priceless.
You know, when you think about it, Chuck, Hartford was very fortunate because, as you know, the Whalers were absorbed in the merger with the WHA, and the scramble was on to get players like a Gordy Howe in the hopes that if you landed somebody of his prestige, you would be part of that merger, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, again, he had played for the New England Whalers, so they didn't have to worry about, you know, having to secure his services into the NHL, but it didn't hurt to have himself and Dave Keon, and then later that season, Bobby Hull joined the team for his brief a period of time. So you have three Hall of Fame players on an expansion team, and here are the old Edmonton Oilers. You know, they have this kid named Gretzky, who was setting all sorts of records in his rookie year that year as well, but it kind of was overshadowed. I know that every time we went anywhere that first year in the NHL, and whenever, especially when we went to Toronto, where Gordy actually scored a goal in his first game back to Maple Leaf Gardens, and it was a Halloween night of 1979, as a matter of fact. And Dave Keon also scored that day against his former club. But when you had players like that, it was kind of a traveling roadshow. The put a lot of emphasis and spotlight on the Whalers and really put them on the map. And it was something I'll never forget. It was very special. We were not just another expansion team or a merge team, like you said, Dan, coming from the WHA.
Is there one Gordie Howe story that stands out among the many that you have?
Well, I think that, you know, on the ice, it was kind of a curious thing. We were in Los Angeles one night, and a left winger named J.P. Kelly, Jean-Paul Kelly, was playing for the Kings. And back in those days, you didn't have the glass as high as it is today. And there was actually no glass in front of the penalty boxes back then. And we were playing in the old Fabulous Forum in Inglewood. And J.P. Kelly threw a body check into Gordie, and he ended up knocking him into the penalty box. Gordie, now, you got to remember, he's 51 years old. He's coming up the wing. He gets hip checked into the boards by J.P. Kelly and then hops back out of the ice. And the story is that Kelly, on the next shift, profusely came up to Gordie and apologized. And after, you know, word after word of apology, thinking that Gordie would have some reprisals there. And all Gordie said to him allegedly was, "Nice hit, kid. It was a clean check." Knocked him over the boards, and it was quite a sight. And we talked about that for very many years. But there was no harm, no foul on that particular play. But Kelly did have a lot of remorse for hitting the great Gordie Howe, especially when he was about twice his age. So, you know, that was one of the funnier things that happened. And then, of course, off the ice, there are many stories about Gordie and his kindness and the like to the fans, to young kids, and to anybody he came in contact with.
Chuck, do you remember the last time you saw him?
Oh, absolutely. The last time I actually saw him was back on April 18th of this year. I drove up from Raleigh to Sylvania, Ohio, to his son Murray's house, where he has been for the last couple of years in his later years of life, and had a chance to communicate with him. It was not very easy to see Gordie that way, but I've kept in touch with he and his family a lot, you know, at least once to twice a year in seeing him. I made special trips. I always called him on his birthday, and you know, it was very, very difficult to see him in the state that he was in with, of course, the dementia and everything that was happening in him. And he slept a lot, but you know, the last time for me, and I'm probably gonna get a little choked up about this, is that we did make eye contact. He was doing very well. And he smiled and nodded and as if he remembered me, and we had a nice conversation, you know, with our eyes. And I could tell that, you know, he was still the same Gordie to me, no matter what, you know, health disabilities had befallen him.
Wow. How do you think he'll be remembered?
Well, I think he'll easily be remembered as the greatest hockey player, but he was also the kindest man in sports. I mean, you know, it's very ironic that they're just burying Muhammad Ali, and a lot of the same things can be said about him. That generation of athlete, you know, from Ali to Gordie Howe to Jean Beliveau to Mickey Mantle, all of those guys were something special that you can't put your finger on today. And, you know, their longevity is respected. I think that their impact on their sport, I mean, Mr. Hockey is the most apropos nickname for Gordie Howe because he was the game. He was a very special person, and I think he'll always be remembered that way. When you have people like Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, Mark Messier, you go down the list of some of the greats that we've seen recently. When they say it, then you know that he is.
Chuck, you've been so kind to come on our program and share your memories with our audience about Gordie Howe. I can't thank you enough, and I have to tell you that Hartford misses you.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan, and we miss Hartford, too. And, again, this is another chapter, I guess, that closes the book. We're going to remember all the great times that Mr. Hockey provided, and I appreciate you having me on the program.
Thanks, Chuck. You take care.
Thank you, Dan.
Bye.